Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church. Hope everybody had a nice snow day the other day and nobody had any real trouble. We have an announcement from Becky about Wednesday night. We'll start off with that. Are there any other general announcements, Sharon? Well, congratulations. Good. Okay. Okay, so 6 o'clock, and then the play's at 7. Any other general announcements, Debbie? Okay.
Real quick.
Elizabeth. Okay, and then
I have a question. Do you bring cans or canned goods?
He's trying to be smart.
Is it empty cans or is it food?
It's a canned food drive, Sam.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, the notes you gave me to put in the book just said bring cans. And I thought,
Savetta, let's move on. Savetta. Okay, any other general announcements? Okay, any first-time visitors? Okay, any prayer or praise requests?
Let's do a congregational meeting.
Oh, excuse me. Go ahead.
Once a year, we elect elders, and we have a meeting of the corporation. Jim, if you would come forward. Jim is president of the corporation. We incorporated a few years ago for legal purposes, I guess, to keep me from getting sued or Jim from getting sued or the other elders. We hope it never happens. But anyhow, we have a corporation, Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church Incorporated, and we are required to meet once a year. So that meeting is right now at the same time that we will elect the elders. Congregational meeting last week was to nominate and give both services, both congregations, and it ends up being two congregations, really, opportunity to make nominations and the first one to know what the second one is doing. So as we come together this morning, Jim, will you lead us in prayer? We are solvent. We have we're not rich, but we have enough money to pay the bills and do a little mission work.
Okay.
Let's basically it's going through the motions, but everybody must receive at least one vote in any election to be elected. The session acting as nominating committee in accordance with the confession of faith nominates to you. And we closed the nominations last week, so we're just announcing this morning the nominations, and then we will lead the vote. Sally Turco for a 2-year term, unexpired term. Deborah Eckert for a 3-year term. Jerry Bowers for a 3-year term. And John Rippey for a 3-year term. The nominations having been made and opportunity given for the congregation, none coming from the congregation last week, we close the nominations, but today we need to formally vote for or against these. So hopefully you'll vote for them. You've heard the names. Do we need them repeated? Are we ready to vote? All in favor of electing these four people to the active session, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
And all opposed, no. The ayes have it. You are duly elected. We will schedule an ordination / installation service. Ordination for those who have not been ordained. Installation only for those who have already been ordained. We will schedule that for early in January. Thank you, and thank you for agreeing to serve, you who have just been elected. The closing prayer of this service will be the closing prayer of the meeting and the congregational meeting. Deborah.
Okay. Now we'll move on to prayer requests. Are there any prayer or praise requests, Elizabeth? Okay. Are there any others? Carol? Terry?
My mother's neighbor was very kind of she was last week and had a funeral on Tuesday. And she was one of the Rowley family. This fellow was 21 years old. He was still about 5 or 7.
That was Bill Rowley's nephew, a great nephew.
Mike?
I have several.
Agreed.
We pray for these United States of America.
Are there any others? Yes, Terry. Donna?
Well, I've had several Mother's Day off families come to me and tell me that they might have to pull their children out because of finances. And anyway, just praying for these families. And I mean, the program is going very well. There's no problems. But, you know, I just, these are very good finances up to this point.
Debbie? Are there any others?
Dinah Stout's grandmother, 96 years old, passed away. Her name is Mary Jane Brabout. Did I say that right? And they're traveling back home today.
Okay, and Diane Reeves was called back to Sparta. Don't know the exact details of it, but I'm sure her father is in the hospital now, not in the nursing home. So Tolman Gross is the last name. I can't remember his first name, though. I'm sorry?
Gunther.
Okay. If there are no others, let's please pause for a moment of silence to prepare our minds for worship. Today we come to give God praise for His mighty works among us.
The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad.
We remember God's great love today as we move towards the birth of a baby in Bethlehem.
The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad.
Instill in our hearts today a sense of great joy and thanksgiving for all You have done, are doing, and will do, O God.
The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad.
Oh,
Father, we come before you thankful. We come with gladness, O God, for the great things that you have done for us. And Lord, as we have been able to sing about how you left heaven and came to earth and then died on the cross to pay for our sin, that we might know forgiveness, that we might know the hope of heaven. And we come with thanksgiving. We come glad, O God, appreciative and wanting to show it. As we have assembled in your name, Lord, we pray for your Spirit to so direct us that this hour will be an expression of gladness and joy and thanksgiving and hope and, Lord, just an expression of our humbleness before you and our appreciation. Thank you. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you that you established the church to keep the message going that the world may know. And Lord, we pray where we have been at fault by not doing or not reaching out with this message that you have given us. We pray, O Lord, that you will inspire us that we might be about the business that you have called us to do. And we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus, now praying as he taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Turn now, if you will, please, in your hymnals. We're going to sing some Christmas carols, expressing our faith. We're going to sing the first verse only of 136 and 137. Then we'll sing 1 and 3 of 132 and the first verse only of 141.
The first Noel the angels did say was to certain poor shepherds in hills where they lay. In fields where they lay keeping their flame on a broken Noel, 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 born in the King of Israel. Mm-hmm.
watch out, is too late to rest. Mary's lap is heaving. Angels greet with anthems sweet. This is Christ the King, shepherds guard and angels sing. Make haste to bring him along, make the Son of Mary.
132, 1 and 3.
Angels, we have heard on high,
sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echo back their joyous strains.
Hallelujah, in ecstatic day, the angels sing, come adore on him to me, Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Oh, in excess of
this word is from Job. If you put away the sin that is in your hand and allow no evil to dwell in your tent, then you will lift up your face without shame. You will stand firm and without fear. Our prayer of confession is from Isaiah 40 and is in unison. Merciful God,
how many John the Baptist, how many prophets of your light have we ignored because they were not what we were looking for? How many times have we ignored voices crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord? How many times have we breathed a sigh of relief and turned our backs on your messengers because they did not speak the message we expected to hear? Help us to hear anew the cry of those who would lead us to Christ. Turn our ears to your herald, that we might also testify to your light.
Amen. Our assurance of forgiveness is from 1 Thessalonians. May the God of peace sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Turn your hands again, please, to 145. O come, all ye faithful.
Come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold Him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. O sing, all ye bright hosts of heaven above. Glory to God, all glory in the highest. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him. Mourn this happy morning.
Sentences from 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God's love a cheerful giver. If the ushers will please come forward.
Let us pray. Holy God, You have poured out blessings upon us. But with each blessing, O Lord, You gave us a responsibility. You have asked us to be stewards of Your earth. You've called us to be good stewards. This day, O Lord, we thank You for the privilege of serving You and entrusting us with responsibilities. We pray for Your help, O Lord, that we might be worthy of Your trust. Lord, so abide in us that we might honor You with our words and our actions, especially as it pertains to the care of your earth and that which you have entrusted to us. Lord, we pray for, with much thanksgiving, for giving us enough and then some more. And we thank you that we can return a portion that might be used for your work and the carrying on of your truth, that others might come to know you, but that we might be faithful in worshiping and serving you. Through Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. God from whom all blessings flow, praise Him all creatures here below, praise Him above the heavenly host, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Not much is known about Joseph. He was a carpenter. He was the earthly father of Jesus. I don't know how many of you fantasize about your life, what it's been, what it's going to be. But I can just only stand back and wonder, what did Joseph say as he held Jesus? What did he think? This song that I'm going to sing tries to address that just a little bit, so please try to think of it in your mind that it's these are words that Joseph might have said about Jesus. The Son of God, the angel said, how could it be? Let I know He's not my own, not of my flesh, out of my bone. Still, Father, let this baby be the child of my love. Father, show me how I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Therefore, all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king? He looks so small, his face and hands so fair. And when he cries, the sun just seems to disappear. But when he laughs, it shines again. How can this be? Father, show me how I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? For all my life, I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise the king? How can I raise the king? How could it be? This baby in my arms, sleeping now, so peacefully. The Son of God, the angel said, how could this be? How could this be? How could this be?
Children's time now. Miss Andrea, if all the children will please come up. And it looks like we have children's church, but do we have a teacher? Miss John. So the children may go to children's church after children's time.
Good morning. Woo, let's do that again. Good morning. There you go. I sound like a fog this morning, so you know y'all can't sound any worse than me. This is our third candle for Advent, right? We've already had two, and for those of you that weren't here for the first two, and even if you were, let's talk about those. Our first candle was what? Do you remember? Starts with an H.
Hope.
Hope. Very good. And then I'm fire challenged, but okay, there we go. And what was our next one? Your faith. Oh, great, that's good. Ugh, there we go. Okay, and the one that well, there you go. I always feel like the Lord's playing with me on these to get them lit. Today, the third candle that we're going to talk about is the candle of love. And, you know, I feel so inadequate to even talk about all the love that God has shown us. I mean, you know, He sent His own Son, His only Son, into the world to be I think of Him as a buffer for us, you know, because we weren't doing a very good job as humanity. We weren't doing a very good job of worshiping God as we should. And He sent His Son in to be the light of the world. And right now, you know, Mr. Mike talked about how, you know, we're kind of having some rough times right now. But we've had rough times before and we'll get through them. And we know that as children of God because we know He is the light of our world. But we don't need to keep that to ourselves. And in the book of John, chapter 1, starting with verse 6 and going through verse 13, the beloved disciple John talks about the fact that he is not the light, but he is a witness to the light. And he was one of the disciples of Jesus Christ, correct? Yeah. And Jesus Christ came into the world as a baby, but he didn't stay a baby. And yes, we celebrate his birth right now, but such an indescribable gift that the Lord could give to us, his only son, to come and be a light to this world of darkness. And he's a light for us right now. We just have to remember that. If you think about this week, we've had the gamut of weather, haven't we? If you, you know, I get up really early because I have two little dogs that get me up. I don't even have to have an alarm clock anymore, and they have to go to the bathroom. So they get me up to go out on the back porch. And when I go out on the back porch, I usually see the beginning of daylight coming up. Now, a couple of days this week, I saw it was really rainy, and, you know, one night it snowed, and the next day it was really great because it was snow. But that light coming up in the morning is such a reminder of me, to me, of the light of the world. And that's the love of Jesus Christ, what he did for us. But as John tells us here, he was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. And that's what we're to do. We're to go out and bear witness to those that don't know. And there's a whole world out there that doesn't know. Many people will receive, and John talks about that in here, many people will receive the Lord and believe, and then there'll be some that won't. But that doesn't mean that we don't need to keep trying. And especially right now, if you know people, I know there are a lot of people that maybe their families, you know, their parents are out of work. Maybe they might even be losing their home. There could be all kinds of things going on like that. But you know what you can do as a child of God? You can share the love of our Lord and Savior, but not only in words, but in actions. And that's what we're here to do. As John says, we are to go out and be Jesus to the world and share his light in a dark world. I'm going to go ahead and light that candle, and then we'll see what Miss Melanie's got picked out for us. Oops, with my... So what's this candle represent?
Love.
That's right. Okay, let's go up here and sing with Miss Melanie. We'll have to stand right around here. And then when we're done, let's make a circle around to say our prayer, okay?
As the children go to children's church, we have something special this morning. Don and Betty Vincent are going to transfer their membership to Jenkins Church this morning, so we invite them to step forward. After the service, we'll ask them to go to the open area at the back to be welcomed and greeted. That seems to be more convenient than coming here to the front, as we have often done. Don and Betty are coming from the Woodland Presbyterian Church, USA, in Memphis, Tennessee, and they've been attending here, what, a year, 6 months?
Mm-hmm.
6 months, and they've made a decision. Actually, he gave a good testimony early on about our church, and now they've decided to unite with our church, so we welcome them. Don has been an elder in the Woodland Church. He has, Betty has taught Sunday school for children. We even tried to recruit her for an adult class some time ago, but she hadn't said yes yet, but, you know, that may come. But we're going to ask you just a transfer of membership question and let you actually to come forward to be recognized and to get known. But do you reaffirm your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and transfer your membership to this congregation? And so I want to offer you the right hand of Christian fellowship first, and if y'all will just be at the back at the close of the service and allow the people to give you their personal welcome. Let's offer a prayer. Lord God, as we come this morning, we thank you for your people. And we thank you for those who have served you elsewhere, but come here and, as we say, cast their lot with us. And we thank you for the privilege of knowing them and working with them and fellowshipping with them. And Lord, we pray for this new relationship that you would bless it and encourage us together as we witness and as we worship and serve you. May it be in truth and in spirit that we do it. In Christ's name, amen. Blessings upon you. Don and Betty Vincent, V-I-N-C-E-N-T.
The scripture lesson will be read this morning by Elizabeth Kewen.
Isaiah 61, 1 through 4. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Elizabeth. As we read this in verse 3, says they, and that's God's people. As God's people, do you see yourself or can you see yourself as an oak? Solid as an oak in your faith. Oaks of righteousness. Solid in your faith and your service to God. A planting of the Lord for a display of his splendor. Jenkins Church being a revelation of the splendor of God. That's what Israel was looking for. The people being revealers of God's splendor and glory. He's the one. Jesus being the He. Third Sunday in Advent. We have been made aware of that this morning at the candle. We're on a journey to the manger in Bethlehem. One of the verses of one of the songs, I believe it was 132, the third verse, talks about on the way or visiting the manger in Bethlehem, where Christ was born. We're going there to celebrate the coming of Jesus into the world. He came as a babe or a baby. He had been present in spirit. He'd been active even in creation. But he came to earth in human form. The Messiah, the Savior, God in the flesh. The story of Jesus coming to earth, it began a long time before His actual birth as a babe in Bethlehem. Someone said that there were 60 prophecies in the Old Testament concerning Jesus. Now, I haven't gone back and counted them, and I've quoted more than once 300 Old Testament prophecies. But if you break them down, some Bible scholar said there were 60 actual prophecies, or give or take, 300 references to these prophecies. 300 references to the 60 prophecies. A good Bible study would be for you to go through the Old Testament and check them all and find 60 or find 300 or whatever. Well, wouldn't that be a good exercise between now and Christmas? Or maybe around the Christmas tree, Christmas Eve, you're sitting around now. Children, let's find all the Old Testament prophecies concerning Jesus and which ones were fulfilled by Him. And I'm being just a bit facetious there, thinking that somebody might do this. But this is, no, don't think that this is what preachers and their kids do on Christmas Eve either. Right? Right, okay. They would probably rebel against me. Abraham, and somebody put it, Abraham back at 2069 or thereabout. How many years does that C period cover? Could it be the 1700s? When was Abraham on the scene? I'm not sure, so we put a C period to say thereabout. Someone finds in back in the day of Abraham, I think it's Genesis 18:18, something about the lineage or the descendants of Abraham. And then we go to the book of Micah, the fifth chapter, the place where the Messiah was to be born, as mentioned. And it's, O Bethlehem, don't let people despise you or put you down because you're so small, because out of you is coming something great, someone great. And then Isaiah in chapter 9, about 700 years before Jesus came, it was mentioned Jesus being out of Galilee. And so it didn't start, the story didn't start when He was born, or when He was conceived. Even the conception in Luke and the angel appearing to Joseph in Matthew is recorded by Matthew. The story started a long time ago, and 60/300 references in the Old Testament are prophecies fulfilled in the New Testament by Jesus. 2 weeks ago, this is the third week, so November the 30th, 2 weeks prior today, we began the season of Lent. I said it's the Sunday nearest St. Andrew's Day, or St. Andrew Day, which is November the 30th, and that was the first Sunday of Lent. It happened this year to fall on November the 30th, that first Sunday. And then, as I reminded you last week, Gary took us back to the foot of the cross. Last Sunday, we heard John the Baptizer, or John the Baptist, we call him, preaching along the Jordan River, the region of the Jordan, or the territory of the Jordan. He was preaching a message of repentance, calling his listeners to prepare for the coming of the Savior. Now, Jesus has already been born. Jesus, we understand, was born about 6 months after John was born. But this was when he would enter into his public ministry. Last time in the New Testament, we saw Jesus when he was 12. He was at the temple with his parents, where he met with the authorities and showed great wisdom. They were astounded. His parents started home and they missed him and they had to go back and get him. Then 18-year void, or 18-year silent years, it's been called. Much speculation to what happened, but at 30, he entered into his public ministry. He came on the scene. He came to the Jordan area. John baptized him, and he began to preach. And today, we see Jesus, or I hope that you can see Jesus, beginning this ministry and declaring that he was fulfilling this prophecy in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 through 4. He was telling the people that heard him what he was going to do. Now, Isaiah 61 was spoken years before Jesus. And some say 700 years plus, some say 400 years, according to when Isaiah was written. And I don't need to get into that. At least 400 years before Jesus was born, these words were written. They were attributed to Isaiah. They're the ones printed for our scripture lesson. Jesus was beginning his ministry. He went to his hometown. What was that? What we call Jesus' hometown. Jesus of the, even one denomination is named, the Church of the Nazarene. The Church of the Nazarene. Nazareth, where the Nazarenes lived. He went to his hometown, went to the synagogue, and he stood up to read. And we don't know why they chose him or why it was that he was reading. Was it God's doing? Yeah, he stood up to read, and they brought him the scroll, and it was opened to Isaiah chapter 61, and he read it. This is recorded in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 through 21. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 through 21. And he basically read, or he did read from Isaiah 61, and Luke picked it up and recorded it to tell us about it. That Jesus read this, and then he said, He left off the part about the vengeance of our Lord. Some say that's because it's going to happen later, even later than today. Sometime out there, the vengeance of the Lord. That's another subject you might get in and study. But in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 through 21, it is recorded again, Isaiah 61, 1 through 4. And Jesus said, today, this prophecy is fulfilled in your hearing. Or, he was saying, I'm here, I'm going to fulfill what the prophet said. This is me that they were talking about. That's what Jesus' testimony in essence. Today, this prophecy is fulfilled in your hearing. So he was telling us what he was going to do. He was telling us his purpose in life or in ministry. He was telling us his mission, if you will, or the role that he would fill for the next few years. And you can find them back in Isaiah 61, or you can find them in Luke chapter 4, 18 and following. Now, go with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 7. And if you don't want to read Luke, you can go to Matthew chapter 11. Same thing. Matthew records it and Luke records it. Luke chapter 7, we find John the Baptist in prison. Why was John the Baptist in prison? We thought he was a preacher. Well, he disturbed some people. He preached against the king who had gone off to Rome to visit his brother, fell in love or lust over his brother's wife, stole her away from his brother, took her back to Jerusalem, and they were living together. And John the Baptist preached against it. Says, you're wrong, you're sinning. And didn't make Herod happy. So, being in charge, he had him arrested and put in prison. And you know, later, he got his head chopped off. He had John the Baptist's head chopped off. But before that, John was in prison. John was an outdoors person. He ate crazy food for us, locusts and wild honey. He wore funny clothes and strange, if we looked at him, I guess we would say, but he was preaching, repent, get ready for the kingdom of God. And he's in prison, and his disciples came to see him. Two of them did, or at least two. And he sent these two disciples to see Jesus. He said, fellows, would y'all go see Jesus? And would you ask Jesus, is he really the one, or shall we look for another? Now, I've kind of preached this where I wondered if John the Baptist was doubting that Jesus really was the Messiah. William Barclay asked the question, was he really doubting? Or poses that question. And then he says, but maybe he was doing this. Maybe he knew who Jesus was, but he wanted his disciples to hear it from Jesus himself. He's doing it for the disciples. It could be that he was in jail and he was impatient and wanting to get out and felt confined, and the disciples was there and he just said, go find out from Jesus. I need to know. And knowing that death possibly loomed, was out in front of him, somebody wrote, when he's coming to the end, you really want to know if you've put your faith in the right person. And so whether the response to the dawning of faith and hope that Jesus might come in and lead a rebellion against the Roman authorities that were in charge and persecuting or overtaxing the people. Who knows? We don't know the real reason. But he sent the disciples to ask Jesus, are you really the one? In the early part of the 7th chapter of Luke, we find that Jesus had been doing some marvelous things. One thing he had done, he had gone along the road in Nain, he had met this woman and a funeral procession, and her son was in the casket or in the box, and they were going to bury him. It was her only son, and she was sad, she was distraught, she was hurting, and Jesus brought her son back to life. Sure, John had heard about this. Word spread about it. And then there's another miracle that he had performed in prior to that, according to the Gospel of Luke. He had performed another miracle, and John had heard about it, and he wanted to know if Jesus was really the promised Messiah, or should they look for another. Jesus told the disciples to go back and report to John. He says, go back and tell him not what I am saying, not what I am saying. Go back and tell John what you hear, but also what you see. What you see happening. Then he will know whether I really am the one. Tell him not just what I am claiming in words, but tell him what you see taking place. Someone put it that Jesus demanded that there should be applied to him, to himself, the most acid test, that of deeds as well as words. You know, words are cheap sometimes. They can be costly, and they can be serious, but you can make all kind of claims, but the action or the deeds, that's quite another story, isn't it? So Jesus said to John, or to John's disciples, to tell John, don't only listen to what I say to you, look at what I can do for you, look at what you see me doing for others. And so in Luke 4, Jesus says what he's going to do. In Luke 7, we find Jesus doing that which he said he was doing. We said in Luke 4 he was stating his mission, or his purpose, or his role, or revealing what job that he would perform. In Luke chapter 7, we find him doing just what he said. One of them even raising a dead boy to new life, fulfilling his mission. So, do you see Jesus as really the one promised, the one hoped for, or should we look for another? I believe he's the one. William Barclay put it, the things that Jesus did in Galilee, he still does. In Jesus, those who were blind to the truth about themselves their eyes were opened. Those whose vision was blind to the truth about God, their eyes were opened. Those who were blinded to the truth about their fellow man, their eyes were opened. In the presence of Jesus, they saw themselves as sinners in need of a Savior. In Jesus, Barclay says, in those whose feet were never strong enough to remain in the right way, they are strengthened. They were strengthened. In Jesus, those who were tainted with the disease of sin, they were cleansed. And in Jesus, those who were deaf to the voice of conscience and deaf to the voice of God, they began to listen because Jesus spoke with authority. In Jesus, those who were dead and powerless in sin were raised to newness of life and were made aware of the loveliness of life. And in Jesus, the poorest person was able to inherit the riches of the love of God. Is he the one? Not what he said about himself, but what others reported that they saw him doing. What miracle do you need today? Wasn't that why Jesus was born? What ministry do you need performed today? For you or in you? What are you waiting for Jesus to do for you or through you? What are you hoping that Jesus will do for you or through you? Isn't that why he was born in a manger? To minister to our needs. To help us in areas where we cannot help ourselves. That's why Jesus was born in a manger. in Bethlehem. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you that Jesus came to open our eyes, to strengthen our weak limbs, to soothe our broken hearts, to give us hope and peace and love and faith and joy and so much more. Lord, let us not doubt that He is the one who came to forgive our sin and prepare us for heaven, and the one who will take us into that heavenly place that He has prepared for us. In His name, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hymn number 151, the title of it's "Would Christian Men Rejoice?" Well, this song was written back in the 14th century, so in the 1300s. And the writer then did not know that he was not supposed to just say, "Would Christian men rejoice?" But he's supposed to include women. So let's sing this song, "Would Christian people rejoice?" Can we get that in there, people, in the place of men? "Would Christian people rejoice?"